At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
No! Felony, jail, 10 years minimum.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is this true at the... Oh, wait a minute. Quinn Ewers, Tyrod Taylor, Andy Dalton, and Kenny Pickett were all in the game, in their respective team games at the same time yesterday. Wow.
They have been.
Wow.
Dalton still plays, huh?
Yeah. He's with Carolina, though.
He had to come in because Bryce Young got hurt.
Yeah.
The other guys came in because...
The other guys were just in because their team sucks.
Yeah, the other player.
How about
sucks.
Carolina, the way Carolina's playing now? The Bears and Carolina may be two of the biggest turnarounds this season.
Carolina's four and three, right?
They are undefeated at home.
They started off terrible.
Now they have... They started off in New England. Was it New England? I know they got their ass kicked by the Patriots. I forgot where it was.
It wasn't New England week one. It was...
No, I think the Raiders beat New England week one. But Carolina, before yesterday, hadn't won a road game. They had been undefeated at home.
They were at home. They got beat by Jacksonville week one.
Yeah, they got destroyed in Jacksonville.
But that... Oh, that was in Jacksonville. That's right.
Yeah. They had they're 3-0 at home, and then they got their first road win over the 0-7 Jets. So they're 4-3.
Yeah, 4-3. Wow. That's a good turnaround. For both, but listen, the Bears with four straight wins, that organization was bad. Look at the difference a coach makes. Holy crap. It's just night and day.
I think we've seen that.
We might see it.
We've seen that with D'Amico Ryans.
Well, we'll see.
I think a lot of it was the personnel got a lot better too. So, you know, there was talent in Chicago. Chicago had some players. They had some talent. Houston just upgraded talent pretty substantially in some areas. And, you know, the secondary is completely rebuilt. But I think D'Amico's definitely played his part culturally. Ime Udoka in basketball, Kelvin Sampson in basketball. We've seen it here in Houston that it makes that kind of difference. It can.
Well, let's see if it does this year. The way that the Bears started, the way Panthers started, let's see if the Texans are one of those teams, the way they started and turned it all the way around.
Right.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Who's up, Dell? Chris, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. I had a question about the Rockets with Kevin Durant. You guys are talking about shooting. Could we see Alpi be used like a Jokic and Durant like a Jamal Murray where he's coming off the elbow? He's always had a really good elbow shot with his length, kind of like Dirk and I think of like Rip Hamilton and those guys. Could he maybe be used like that where the other guys are shooting threes? And then my comment or actually question is, have we heard from the Hatchet Man all this year about how the G-Men are dealing with Jackson Dart?
No, we haven't.
I try to listen to you guys' show pretty religiously, but I don't feel like I've heard the Hatchet Man weigh in on the G-Men. So not sure if he's busy at the sushi for him, but I wanted to check in.
No, and of all the times, you'd think he'd be most hyped up. Maybe not after yesterday. But can you imagine how much he likes Cam Scataboo?
Oh, my God.
Cam Scataboo, is there any chance that's his kid? I don't think so. But my gosh, Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo, he's got to be excited about
that. Any chance that's
his kid? What are you saying about Mrs. Scataboo? What are you saying about his mom?
No, I didn't know if Tony. Yeah, I've seen Mr. Scataboo actually.
What are you saying?
No, I've seen Mr. Dart. I'm sure I've seen Mr. Scataboo.
No, what you see a lot of is Mrs. Dart.
Yeah.
The camera's lover.
Yeah, well.
The camera's lover.
Sometimes you know, in New York, they go searching for quarterbacks' moms.
Yeah, well.
Zach Wilson had it.
Zach Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, his mom.
Yeah.
See, Zach Wilson is a great example of somebody who's not ready for the city of New York. Never was. It was always a failing pick. Like, you got to pass on quarterback. You just can't. You either don't take him, you take Trey Lance, you take Fields, anybody else. And Fields wasn't a good quarterback. So I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do. And Mac Jones wasn't the right pick. Some guys aren't made for New York, the media, the fan base. Jackson Dart doesn't seem to have a care in the world. He is perfect for New York.
Yeah.
You either have to be somebody who's a football, who's like Eli Manning personality-wise, or you have to have somebody like Jackson Dart who leans into it. Now, you know, come see me in 3 years when if the Giants aren't winning playoff games or something like that and Jackson.
This group of the way that Bo Nixon's two touchdown runs yesterday.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart's touchdown runs. I mean, it's different, man.
But mobility at the quarterback position is almost a must.
Listen, are we going to see that more out of CJ now? Because we've seen it the last couple of weeks.
I hope so. It's a big part of it.
I hope he's watching all of these young guys out there and going, maybe I do need
that. Look, I don't want CJ just to pull it at the first sign of problems, but he's not really wired like that anyway, so I'm not worried. If you know what, when the pressure, if anything opens up straight ahead, if they don't maintain their rush lane integrity and defense is in man-to-man, just take off. Go get us some yards and slide. You're good. You're good. Just get some yards and slide. Extend the play. Extend the quarterbacks who extend, you know, who can run for 27 yards a game, 28 yards a game. It's a good thing, CJ. It's a good thing. You force the defense to be a little bit more accountable, and you also extend drives with your legs. And he gets into, by the way, he gets into games whenever he gets on the move. When he's running a little bit, he seems to just be a better quarterback.
Yeah.
I can't explain it, but he is.
He is. He is. Especially when he makes a big – it seems to – well, whenever he makes a big play, now all of a sudden CJ just gets lit. You know, he lights up. He plays so much better. But his big runs help tremendously. And I think his confidence, too. Well, right, who's next, Dell?
Yep.
Chuck. What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just a little different question for college football. I'm a huge Notre Dame fan. Is Jordan Love and Jeremiah Love and that Price kid, are they really as good as they look against USC?
Yes, they are.
Oh, my God.
Or am I just imagining
it? I mean, that Price? Oh, my God. He'd be
RB1. I think Price is better. I think Price is better than Love.
Every other team in the country, he'd
easily,
be RB1.
Easily. Is that now three kick returns for touchdowns this year, Dell? I know it's two for sure, but I think it might be three. Price is – he had another kick return for a touchdown. He's a monster. And Love is considered the number one running back in the nation. So, yeah that is – well, Mike Elko early in the year told us it's the best – running back combination he's ever coached against, and he coached against Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, and that was they were big time coming out of Georgia.
Yep. Oh no, their prices. Holy crap! I mean, who would you rather have returning a kick, him or Niblett?
Price.
Price probably.
Yeah.
And Niblett's unbelievable.
What is his name? Jadarian Price.
No one knows.
Yeah, I think it's Jadarian. It is Jadarian Price. Yeah, it's easily found here in Google. Jadarian Price. So his return, let me give you his return stats this year. His returning, he's got two touchdowns this year, kick returns for touchdowns, three for his career. He's had a total of 18 kick returns in his entire college career, John, three for touchdowns. Three for
average?
Touchdowns. He had
What's
one against average? The Aggies. His average kick return is, well, it doesn't, for some reason, it does not say that here on, it doesn't have his average, but I'll find it. He's been just really, really impressive over there. Jadarian Price and Love. Price is from Texas, Denison, Texas. He's averaging 6.7 yards a carry, but, they are loaded.
They're really good. Real that combination. Holy crap! I don't know how you ever throw. Do you see the bad throw Carr threw? I mean, he's running around.
Oh, he
on
does
the
some
line.
Of the dumbest stuff.
Oh my God!
He's a freshman. He's going to be pretty good, but he stills in dumb dumb throw mode. By the way, so last week, because we won't talk college football tomorrow. We got a ton of Texans after tomorrow. But so Alabama beat Tennessee, so they're going to move up. But you had some big losses. Number two, Miami lost at home against Louisville. You had number 10 LSU getting beat by number 17 Vanderbilt. You had Indiana rolled against Michigan State as expected. You had Texas Tech losing to Arizona State, which I thought that was going to be a tough one for Texas Tech. Kenny Dillingham's a really good coach too. Ole Miss, who was cruising. Ole Miss's offense looked unstoppable. And I'm like, Kirby, man, what has happened to your defense? Kirby did it again. He pulled a game out of his ass last week against Auburn in the fourth quarter. He did it in the second half against Tennessee and Joey Aguilar when they were losing and Tennessee looked like they were going to handle them. And then and then they took over in the second half. And then in the fourth quarter, they outscored Ole Miss 17-0. Ole Miss was scoring on every single possession. They were getting touchdowns. Then, zero. Yeah.
Hey, Gunner looks pretty good.
Gunner Stockton had five touchdowns.
Like, Gunner looks pretty good.
Yeah,
but
Gunner
get this. After losing to a team that just lost to Stanford to start the season, Alabama, they're in the top 17 teams in the country have 14 losses. 28.5% of them have come to Alabama. Nearly 30% of the top 17 losses in the country have come to one team, and that's Alabama. Alabama just might be, after that debacle against Florida State, who sucks. Florida State sucks. Alabama is, and well, the Aggies are undefeated, but Alabama, nobody's playing better than Alabama. Nobody. They just dismantled Tennessee. They just kicked their ass.
Now, let's ask the question. Of all the teams in the top 25, no one has more than two losses. Does Alabama have the worst loss of any team in the top 25?
Yeah, but I always look at week. I always look at game one.
I'm not even talking about what it means for them as a. I'm just asking the question.
It's gotten progressively worse.
Do they?
It didn't look bad. It didn't look bad by week two. You're like, huh? Florida State is back. Now it's starting to look bad.
By week two, they're playing Kent State or East Texas.
Yeah, but they were winning handily.
Good. They still haven't won an ACC game since early of last year, September 24. I'm just going through, like, Missouri has a loss, but it wasn't a bad one, and they're in the, like, they lost to Alabama, to your point, John, of all the teams right. Alabama's beaten. It is funny how that team on that day was the worst they could possibly be.
On any given Saturday, considering they always who say they played. That's the phrase, Dale, any given Saturday.
That's not the phrase.
Who did Virginia – what are you saying the top 25?
Yeah.
Who did Virginia lose
Virginia
to?
Lost to an NC State team who is currently 4-3. So it rivals it, but NC State didn't lose to Stanford.
It is a – you're going to look back at the end of the year like, what the hell happened? That's just game one. Ty Sampson hadn't had a start. Now you look at Ty Sampson, he's a legitimate Heisman Trophy
candidate.
It wasn't
just Ty Sampson. People were talking about that defense, the lack
stunk.
Of effort, the
loafing.
Yeah,
you're right.
Like, well, Nick Saban
they weren't
cut
physical.
These guys.
That's true.
Well, I'll tell you this.
You got bullied.
I'll tell you this. Cignetti should be number one, but Kalen DeBoer might be the second best candidate for coach of the year.
Ooh. I'm putting Mike Elko up
there
too.
They're beating, I mean, they've got four wins against top 17 teams. Four.
Joy McGuire would have been at the top of the food chain if they hadn't lost that game. And that was a tough loss. Texas Tech fell to 14 when losing at Arizona State. Man, that was a tough one. That was a really tough one. I think Clark Lee's doing a hell of a job at Vanderbilt. He's going to get a
– yeah, that too.
I mean, they've lost
and
one.
And it's usually teams that are unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, Clark.
But what about
Brent Key at Georgia
let's
Tech?
Let's not forget about Brent Key.
Brent Key at Georgia Tech.
Now, their
Tech.
Schedule isn't tough, but they're up in the top 10 right now.
But Cignetti, to me, you lost your quarterback. Well, I mean, they said this team was even better than last year, and they're right. Really? Sark's got to be mentioned.
What?
Stop. Okay. No, but listen. He's going to be passed by because it's Alabama, but nobody has a better – better wins than Alabama.
Let me tell you something. Mike Elko could,
and it's not even close.
If Texas A&M could keep scoring, Mike Elko is going to be in the mix.
Tony Elliott at Virginia. Like, if Virginia at 6-1 keeps winning games,
yep.
And their schedule would suggest they should, Virginia very well could be, if I'm looking at it, they may be an underdog at Duke, but Virginia, Tony Elliott, he could be 11-1.
Okay, so far, they've beaten Coastal. They've beaten William and Mary.
Stop, Dale.
Stanford.
Stop.
Florida State.
Oh,
Louisville.
God.
And Washington. You just
pointed, wait, they beat Louisville?
Yes. You just yeah. So
oh,
they
they're the ones that up. Yeah.
So you just pointed out how a guy who wasn't expected to be good could win it. If Tony Elliott's in a top 10, even by virtue of how bad the schedule is, and gets to 11-1, he will be seriously considered. Because who thought anything about Virginia coming into this
he'll
year?
Be
he'll
a
be
finalist.
Considered.
He'll
but
be
Clark,
a finalist for the
Clark
Bear
Lee
Bryant,
at Vanderbilt.
But you can't win it with that schedule.
Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. If Vanderbilt beats Missouri this week,
yeah. Because
if this is Vanderbilt
they beat
at
nobody.
10,
nobody.
Louisville's in the top 20. They
stop. This is ACC. This is your ACC
Alabama's
bias.
Alabama's won four top 17
ACC
games.
ACC bias
give
is leaking
in. They
don't
give it to the Alabama coach. Who? So what? They were a national title contender. Alabama's good? Congratulations. Everyone thought they were going to be
if
good.
If Virginia the only reason, played Alabama, they'd be 22-point
the only
underdogs.
Reason this is a thing because they lost to Florida State. Alabama was a lot of people's favorite to win the SEC. The only reason we're talking about the remarkable job that Kalen DeBoer did is because they lost early.
Do you remember,
if they didn't lose to Florida State, this wouldn't be a conversation.
Can I ask you something? Do y'all remember when John Mateer was a Heisman Trophy front runner? He's got 7 touchdowns and 6 interceptions this year.
Well, he had how many against
3?
Texas? I mean,
3?
All right, we got a break.
But that record was broken by Dell's quarterback.
We have to talk about underdog right now.
That's your quarterback. And you know what? And if you have higher on interceptions for certain quarterbacks, well, maybe that'll pay off for you. You know, they do have college football stats. Matter of fact, I heard one. Was it Colby Young? Is that the wide receiver from Georgia? Good wide receiver, and I heard on the broadcast they were talking. They said, you know, the offense coordinator told us they want to target him 10 times per game. Ooh, I'm going to stash that away for the next week. Why don't you do that? Take that information you're hearing on broadcasts. You know, when you're watching your game, say, man, I got to remember this defense cannot stop the run. Good. Keep that in your mind whenever you're watching college or pro football because you can use that the next week in Underdog Fantasy because what you're doing is you're taking players and you look at their statistics. And if you see a stat where you go, ooh, he's not going to do that well, you go lower. If you say, oh, he's going to do way better than that, you go higher. It's that simple. It's that simple. You have basketball coming up. I'll tell you about basketball tomorrow. But for right now, with football, 2 Monday night football games, you guys know the Texans pretty well. So you might want to just take a look at Texan stats and go higher or lower. And then you have to have one player from another team. So let's just say you do 2 from the Texans, 1 from Seattle. Boom, you're locked in. You're watching that. But you say, that's not enough. I got to do 1 for Detroit and for Tampa as well. Do that one as well. It pays real money. You can even have flex options, which means you can lose and still get paid. So let's say you pick 4 players where you go higher or lower on stats and only 3 of them hit, you can still win money. But you can't win if you don't play. So download the app, Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code Lance on your first deposit. You need to add Lance on your promo code. And then what they're going to do is when you spend your first $5, they're going to put $100 of bonus funds and entries into your account for you to use as you see fit. This is a great chance for you to make money legally in the state of Texas with your sports knowledge. It's Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code Lance.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.com.
Houston's only FM sports stations. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number you want to get in here. Anything that you want to... Man, we had some great football this weekend. That was a really good football weekend. Really good football weekend. There are a lot of great games. And then there was Texas, and I just feel sorry. I mean, they had what, 5 straight second half 3 and outs? 5 straight?
Yeah. It was brutal.
It was brutal.
It's one of the worst offensive performances I've seen a Texas team have ever. I mean, especially in relation to the team they're facing. Now, Kentucky's not a slappy team defensively. They're not good offensively, but that quarterback just kind of got some confidence. He got out of the pocket, got some confidence. They controlled the game at a 2-1 clip. Kentucky controlled the game at 66% time of possession at 25 first downs. But they were chopping up little short passes, so their first downs were only, you know, they were gaining 10, 11, and 12 yards over four plays to get the first down. So it's not like they were hitting explosive plays. When you look at it and you say, man, how did they only manage 13 points? They only managed 13 points against Texas. Like, despite giving up 25 first downs, they weren't hitting explosive plays on Texas. But getting back to the real crux of the issue, I really want to know how a team like Texas has an offensive line that is this below average. It doesn't make sense. In this day and age of portal, you're giving a bunch of money to Arch Manning. You're giving a bunch of money to receivers. You're giving a bunch of money to running back. You better make sure that you have good offensive linemen. You're in the state of Texas. There's a lot of offensive line prospects in the state of Texas. You have phenomenal facilities. You have more money than just about any team, maybe any organization. Well, we'll call them organizations. It's not school. They're pro organizations now. How in the world do you not portal in better players? And I know they're not portaling in players. They want to grow their own. That was terrible. You should not have an offensive line. They're not. They look like a soft unit physically. They are the build is soft. The physicality and mentality is soft in the run game. It should never be this bad. The pass protection's not good. And even if the pass protection was good, Arch Manning is rushing everything. He's not a naturally accurate quarterback. He's a run-first quarterback. Sark doesn't call plays for those kind of quarterbacks. Sark, earn your money and change what you're doing. You've got to change your offense. You have got to. If you're going to be held hostage by the Manning name and you're not going to turn to the backup to see if he can do any better, you better flip your offense to be more run heavy from your quarterback. You better be getting a 10 to 11 carries for your quarterback.
They did some of it.
I had an NFL scout tell me, what is it going to mean for Sark when teams start recruiting against him saying, boy, look what he did. Quinn Ewers is the highest recruited quarterback ever. He's seventh rounder. And then this is what they did with Arch Manning. Woo. Right. Boy, don't go to Texas for quarterback development. No, I said, do you think that's going to be successful?
Well, he goes, you never know. Now? Are they wrong?
Well, I said, is that really going to – will that really work in recruiting? Yeah. He goes, it only takes one or two quarterbacks for it to work on.
Yep. I mean, you're not getting a top – I mean, it's not wrong. It's not wrong right now.
No, and I think Sark has done well with quarterbacks. I think he's been a good play caller. I think Sark is screwed because he doesn't know how to call plays for this kind of quarterback.
Right.
And he also, frankly, has his hands tied because his offensive line can't hold up.
So who would be the – what's the program developing quarterbacks year after year? LSU would be one, I guess. They put guys in the top 10 of the draft. Joe to Jaden, now there's some space in between, and he's a transfer. So I get what you're saying. Oh, Sark. But who is consistently doing it?
Well, you have to have the right players.
But at least do it once.
You can't take five stars and turn them into three stars.
Sark will tell you what I did with past quarterbacks at Bama and other places.
No. I'd make the argument for Sark. I don't know that that's a fair – I don't know it's a fair characterization. But what I'm saying is I was told they're going to use that into saying these are these five stars that he's turning into three stars.
I hope – we'll check your resume, sir. When you make that claim, I hope your background's clean. Who are the guys who you have on your list?
Fernando Gomez
Mendoza.
Fernando Mendoza.
Gomez.
Holy crap. Uh-huh. Yeah. Dell, I couldn't open it, but let's do on the other side. Let's do Texans, Seattle prop bets. Let's do that on the other side. Before we get to
over
that,
all of them across the board for the Texans.
Before we get to that, Billy Napier was fired. A buddy of mine who has ties to the program said he was fired during the week, told this was going to be his last game.
Oh, really?
Regardless of win or lose.
Huh.
Evidently, they won and they got fired.
Yeah, but man, that's Mississippi
State. Mississippi State's not terrible this year. They beat Arizona State.
Yeah. No, they're not terrible, but it's still, yeah, he was done. They told him, you're done after this game.
Well, he was on the field taking pictures with his family. So
he knew it.
That sounds correct that he knew.
He knew it. He was getting hugs from his players.
Yeah, the program probably all knew.
Yeah, they probably all know.
And I guess that this is kind of a new thing where you're firing coaches in season, but I guess the thought is, man, we got a portal window that's in January now that shuts down recruiting. I guess I kind of understand it, yeah.
Yeah, well, if you're behind his back looking for coaches, now they don't have to do it behind his back. They can say, hey, we're open.
My dad was so pissed about, you know, I was with my parents this weekend. He's so pissed about the James Franklin thing. He said, there was a conversation 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. He said, just a month ago, in the middle of a game, we were talking about if Penn State was going to have a chance to win a national championship. He goes, 3 weeks later, he's fired. He said, I've never seen anything like that.
Well, they lost again this week.
I know. They had a lead, but that's not on James Franklin now.
No, that's not. Well, it's on the team that he put together.
Well, the quarterback's hurt.
It absolutely is on the team he put together.
Yeah, backup quarterback.
Well, the backup quarterback's in there. A lot of factors. You're on the road.
James Franklin. I'm not blaming James Franklin for losses from here on out. It's not his. He's done.
But I mean, I think Josh Pate made a really good point about Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze is out there going, "Well, our culture here is what? This is your team." This is
Josh Pate also said
the whole thing together. And James Franklin put this whole thing together.
Josh Pate, but don't put words in his mouth because he said he thought that was dumb for them to fire James Franklin.
No. But
he was anti.
But listen, this is his organization. This is James Franklin's organization. They have four losses now.
Well, yeah, but once you get fired, you're done.
It's still the team you put together.
Doesn't matter. Just in James Franklin's, he's done. He's out of here. Why are we throwing?
Well, it's not
why are we throwing
dirt record,
on him because they blew a lead in the fourth quarter?
It's not going to go on his record. But a team that was supposed to contend for a national championship now has four losses.
Well, because Penn State is a disappointment. Aller was a disappointment too.
And who was in charge of Penn State?
But John, it doesn't matter. They blew a lead. They had a big lead against Iowa and blew it. That's not on James Franklin. That's on in-game coaching. Drew Aller didn't play. Drew Aller was a massive disappointment this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, but you know what? The whole thing is his. It's his. It's that coach's.
Well, yeah, but now you're just crapping on his grave.
Well,
because he's dead. You got rid of him.
Well, no, he's not, because I saw on game day the love fest for James Franklin.
I know. People around football thought
how
it was
about
dumb.
How about ask him about that he can't beat anybody good? Well, how about ask him that question?
He's not sitting down for that. He's not sitting down for that on game day. He's not coming there for that.
I'm not having
what
that.
What are some of the questions going to be? We're going to ask why you can't beat top teams.
Ohio
I'm
State.
Not coming in.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm just not going to show up. I don't need that. I just got fired.
Oh, my God. Oh, Coach, you got so screwed. Blah,
I'm
blah,
surprised
blah, blah.
Pat McAfee
didn't
say.
How about beating a good team?
Coach, what are you going to do with this $49.7 million? What are you going? That's what I want to know. What are you going to do with that money?
How are you going to live? Yeah. How are you going to live now? Oh, my God.
Coach, there's a lot of haters who are glad you lost. You got fired. Tell me what you're going to do with $49.7 million. Here we go.
All right. Tell me how you don't have to worry about beating a top five team ever again.
Well, he'll get a job and have to worry about that again.
Well,
yeah.
But the next
if he wants
team
one.
Will have
to, but
oh,
Jeff,
have, well, maybe I'll
but you know who does
him.
Beat top 10 teams? Jeff Brohm in Louisville. Jeff Brohm is a top 10 beater. That's what he does.
Yeah. So does Kalen DeBoer. But you don't want to give him any credit.
He coaches at Alabama. You beat top 10 teams.
He coached at Penn State.
Who?
James Franklin.
Don't come at me about James Franklin.
Kalen DeBoer did
my entire
Washington
show,
too.
We ripped James Franklin. But Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. He ain't getting credit. The last guy did it, too.
Listen, Jeff Brohm. Jeff Brohm
did it in
did
Washington,
it,
though.
Listen, well, Jeff Brohm did it, but it was an ACC top five team. Okay? Doesn't count.
I remember when Kalen DeBoer almost got fired this year.
Yeah, he did.
The fans almost fired him.
No.
We now he's like,
Kalen DeBoer is the best since
what
Nick.
About,
John
what
almost
about
fired
talk?
Him.
How many with $49.5 million, how many windows and siding can you buy?
Oh, he can be. Get his whole house done. That's not a problem. As a matter of fact, if he is, you know, I don't know if Franklin or I don't know if he's a member of the – he's not a senior citizen. I don't know if he's a member of the military. But they do have those discounts. I think on first responders, too, ask about that, but – I do know you get a discount for being an ESPN 97.5 listener. So the thing I would recommend you do is go to Allstate Windows and Siding. Sign up. Just fill out the form. Hit submit. They'll come out to your home. They do all the measurements of your windows. They'll look at your siding. If you want siding done, if you want to do both of them, you get a package discount, which is even higher. But just know this. They're going to make sure that you get their best price. Tell them you're an ESPN 97.5 listener. You're going to get that discount. You get no payments, no interest for a full for a full 12 months, a full year, no payments, no interest. This is a great chance for you to get exactly what you want and what you need with windows that are made in Texas to withstand our weather, beautifies your home, gives you a level of protection against the elements, can lower your energy cost by up to 40%. You're going to have this, and you don't, and you can pay for it as you see fit over the course of 12 months. And then you're set to go. And the same thing is with your siding. You know, the same thing with the siding or the windows. Get great quality products with unbelievable workmanship, great craftsmanship, and get a fair price with discounts that you are going to, it's going to really help you make this a reality. Update and beautify your home with Allstate Windows and Siding.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, before we get to Texans props, we forgot to mention that, okay, watch for Atari Eason extension today. They got to do it before 5 o'clock or he will become a restricted free agent after next season. It's got to be done before 5 o'clock today, but it is expected to be done. They have $25 million under the second apron threshold. But he ain't going to get $25 million, but he is going to get, right now, Durant 45, Alpes 35. Fred VanVleet has a player option for next year at $25 million. If he opts out of that, that's a bad person because he's getting paid for this whole year without playing. I'm not saying he's a bad person, but I'm just saying. Jabari Smith, 23. Dorian Finney, 13. Adams, 13. Amen, 12. Reed Shepard, 11. Clint Capella, 7. And then Tari would be, I don't know what kind of extension he's going to get. What do you think?
I have absolutely no idea. Yeah. What do you do with a guy who may not play back-to-backs, has some injury history, money, but is tremendous when he plays for you? Yeah, you give him money, but if you're Tari Eason, what's to say that you – like, why do you want to stay in Houston if you're Tari Eason? I know it's an easy answer. He wants to win. He had a chance to win. But Tari Eason wants to win, and he wants to be a starring role.
Yeah, but you also could end up like Cam Whitmore in Washington.
So maybe he wants to get paid.
Yeah, but
– maybe he wants to play 32 minutes a game because it's not going to happen here.
Yeah, but it's hard to believe in a guy, though, that gets injured as much
as he does. I'm with you. I just wonder if the Rockets' view of Tari and what Tari wants for Tari, if they may not align, because we've already seen his mom has said things publicly about it's political behind the scenes. But like, she's made some comments that are a little bit concerning in terms of history. I know we're sitting here thinking, oh, they got money to pay Tari. They make him a... Well, who's to say Tari is going to want to stay somewhere where he's never going to play more than 20-some-odd minutes a game?
Yeah.
Tari may want to be a starting five, you know, a member of the starting five, and I'm not sure that's what he's best with what the Rockets have. He is a tremendous
No, there's a market for him.
Value. Yeah, there is a market for him. And for the Rockets, you would love to have him as a sixth man. He's a phenomenal sixth man.
Well, the Rockets' longtime tormentor dealt with that this offseason, Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors. He saw his role as something else. They don't particularly see him in a role that he wants. And because of the way they play, they need probably more of a connector than a bucket getter. Mm-hmm. He thinks he has the potential to be a star. So this stretched out all offseason where, hey, if you're not going to give me the money I want, then I'm not signing any deal below what my value is. So they wound up giving him a deal that allows for him to get out of it. I think after this season, it's a 2-year deal instead of a long-term deal for him. I think it comes with a club option. Yeah, club option. So they may use his contract as a trade piece as opposed to really committing to him, and he probably doesn't want to be there either. So I don't think we're getting there with Tari. If the reports are true, he's going to sign a deal relatively long term. The question is he making $20 million? Because what does Jabari get? Average 25? Is that what he got per year?
I think it is.
So if he's coming in somewhere under that, it would kind of fly in the face of what he has said this right before the season started. He's talked about expanded role, how he wants, he jokingly said, maybe a play run for me per half. So if he signs a deal that locks him in, did they give him assurances that that's going to happen? Or is he
5-year, 122? Yeah, so just under $25 million a year.
Or is he going to go, hey, I'm taking the money and run?
I don't think it's a lock. Tari stays, because there's going to be a lot of good teams that want Tari Eason, and the Rockets. I don't know how you can value him higher than Jabari Smith. And Tari Eason, if somebody says, well, we'll give you $29 million and we'll put you in the starting lineup.
Yeah. Well, they don't have the option of negotiating with him. I guess they could always tell his agent, but if he's signing a deal.
He's restricted next year, too.
So if he's signing a deal that is reported that he's going to sign, they've come to some resolution about his role. And
if they're locked in, that's awesome. Mm. To me, I would do everything I can to lock in Tari Eason, because Kevin Durant has made it a possibility. Durant is doing what he said he would do, which is he is trying to win a championship at the end of his year. And I give him so much credit, because you hear this talk from NBA players, and then they get praised for taking $4 million less than they could have had, maybe five. Kevin Durant left $15 million. Now, it's not to say the Rockets would have paid him or been able to pay him, but obviously Kevin Durant is not fussing. He just said, because Kevin Durant got paid $15 million per year less than his max. So, I'm not saying he's altruistic at $45 million. But it is a big deal. It is a big deal. It allows the Rockets a better chance to win at a high level. It's a really big deal when your top player is taking $30 million less than the max over 2 years. That's a really big deal in today's NBA.
Yep. All right. When we come back, we'll do the odds. We got a break. More important than news of the weird.
Oh, okay.
More important. Way more important. We got Texans on tonight in the biggest game.
Yeah,
of the
year. Dell, this is huge for us. Yeah, losing, Dell. You're out of the playoffs.
Is that so?
Well, it feels like it.
Yeah, this is the biggest game of the year, and you want to talk about stupid stuff, weird stuff?
Oh, a boy was in the middle of a soccer match, and bees stung him on his privates. Would you like bees to sting your privates, Dell?
But that's not my story. That's what he would say. So I don't know why you're coming at me.
But this is what you're trying to bring to the show.
I simply asked a question. That's all. It doesn't mean I prefer. I just asked, and you guys are taking it too far.
I don't want
asked
my private
and
stung.
Answered. Asked.
I don't know.
And
might
answered,
feel good.
Counselor.
You never know.
No private stinging.
Okay. Except, how about this? ChatGPT soon could sext you.
I don't want
okay.
that.
Do well, you want
well,
ChatGPT?
Just wait a minute. Just hold on a second, Dell. Okay. It can also make images. So let's hear this out.
I don't want to fall into a parasocial. Romantic relationship with AI. I don't want any
parasocial.
That
is a new word. That's a new phrase.
I've never heard that before.
I haven't either.
I do hear. I've heard of HRP. HRP.net. It is what we do here, and I hope you do it at your business. I want you to do it at your business. I want your business to be better. I want your business to be as good as it can possibly be. And HRP helps you do that. They're partners with you. They partner in your business, because if you don't succeed, they don't succeed. If you don't succeed, your business doesn't succeed, isn't as good as it can possibly be, make as much money for you as possibly can, and that's what HRMP does. HRMP cuts your costs. They actually cut your costs. It costs me to do payroll. It costs me to do HR. It costs me to do taxes. It costs me to have their advice on 401ks and insurance policies. No, what they do is they cut your costs on all that stuff. Okay, so you win. You get their expertise, right? And something you're not good at, and you get their expertise, and you get and it costs you less to do it. I mean, that's a win-win for you. So if you have a business, you're spending too much, you don't like your admin company, you're trying to do it yourself, HRP, HRP.net. You ask any of our clients, any of their clients, or the people that give good testimonies here on the show, and they'll tell you, HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Mm-hmm.
got the biggest game of the year tonight. Texans at Seattle.
Oh, I thought you meant Tampa, Detroit.
Tampa, Detroit doesn't matter. I don't know why that game is even on.
It's
tonight.
A good game. It's a pretty good game.
It doesn't even matter.
It is a big game.
No.
Could decide number one seed in the NFC.
That's not important. What's important is what happens in the wild card race in the AFC.
Ah.
I'm going to have to see what Sabrina Carpenter did on Saturday.
She did her thing.
She is. Oh. She's got some nasty
hey,
to her.
A buddy of mine.
Just being real, Del.
What's wrong with you?
I'm just being real. I'm seeing her little dance in front of like, what are we doing here?
Who is Sabrina? What?
Anyway. She's about 4 foot eight.
Yeah, she's a little person.
She's a little person who's not a little person.
No, but just small.
So a buddy asked me, he said, what if the Mariners lose to Toronto before that? Does that take a lot of steam out of the crowd in Seattle?
I don't know.
How about Seattle's two games tonight?
We've had those situations before.
Yes, we have.
Where we've had games, and I don't think it's the same people. Like, no, I don't think it's going to take any steam out of
Seattle. No, I don't think it takes. No. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I mean, listen, you don't get to the ALCS. As a matter of fact, this they never get to the ALCS and Game 7 to go to the World Series. So there's distraction there for that fan base tonight. There's no question.
I'm more concerned about whether Sam Darnold cares if Seattle comes through or not. Like, if he's mentally soft because the Mariners don't win, I would be more concerned about that. What does Tyreek Woolen think of the Mariners' chances tonight? If he cares about that and they lose, great. But if not, just go out there and play the Seahawks. What do you want to look at, John? Prop bets? Is that what
prop
we're doing
bet.
Here?
Yeah.
Okay. So these are labeled best prop bets. You can take that for what it is. Ta'Kaimi Fairbairn. 2+ field goals made, -112.
Over.
Over. That's what we do.
That's, yeah.
And let me change it up. Longest field goal, 51.5. Over.
Over.
Yeah.
Over. Did you see the guy that was bagging groceries that kicked a 61-yarder yesterday?
Yes. Did you see Brandon Aubrey's the first player in NFL history to have 5 kicks of 60-plus yards? It's like not a big deal.
Product of the MLS.
And he could.
Aubrey.
Listen.
Oh, that's
Brandon
right.
Brandon Aubrey could kick a 70-yarder.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's going to.
He's going to, yeah. That thing didn't even scare the crossbar.
Uh-uh.
It was up the net. I'm like, are you kidding me?
So backing Ka'Imi Fairbairn's +2 field goals made is that Seattle's defense ranks 7th in limiting red zone TDs. And, of course, you know the Texans, not great in scoring touchdowns when not playing the Titans or the Ravens. Right. Woody Marks, +3 receptions, +119.
I'm going to go under that.
What is it?
Woody Marks, 3+ receptions, +119.
He has to get 4 catches. That seems a little high.
Yeah, I don't know about 4 catches. Especially when he's splitting time. I don't know about 4 catches. I'm going to go under.
We got Kenneth Walker, anytime TD, +165.
I must say no.
I like a Kenneth Walker touchdown, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, because he's an up-the-middle guy. The Texans are weaker up-the-middle. I'm going to go yes.
Yeah, I didn't start him in fantasy, so he should score.
I didn't start Travis Hunter yesterday.
Don't worry. I'm going to have the highest points in our league, John, by far.
I
played Chris Solis. So far this year, there's been 7 weeks. He's faced the highest score 5 of the 7 weeks.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He said you're going to have your highest score. Oh, 6 of my players had their highest score all year.
Dude. I'm playing Tony Prock. He has 26 points right now.
Ooh, that's low.
You think? He's got 24.9. How about that? What's next, Del?
We go to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Over 84.5 receiving yards, -111.
Oh.
Man, I don't know how to
touch Njigba.
I'll say yes, even though I think that he could catch Derek Stingley today. And Sting doesn't usually give up those kind of games, but who knows? Texans maybe don't travel Sting on them. So I'll say yes. This could turn into a game where the Texans have to prove themselves against a run. You know, I just don't know if Seattle's got that kind of commitment to the run game. Seattle has not run it great this year.
Speaking of run, Nick Chubb, under 37.5 rushing yards, minus 120.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, that's a low number.
He's got two off-tackle 25-yard touchdowns this year.
Yeah, but one of them was against Tampa. I mean,
the other one, it was almost identical. And they said, oh, did they give that up for?
No, Tampa was the one we were questioning. The Ravens, yeah,
but
though,
he's
just
not even. Is he even with that? Is he even averaging 4 yards a carry?
I don't know that.
He's facing a defensive front that's going to be pretty tough.
Two big timers in the middle. He's averaging 4.3 yards a carry.
Yeah, 4.3. He had 9 carries. Let's see. Against Ravens, he did have 11 for 61. Against the Titans, against the two bad teams. Titans, he had 47 yards on 13 carries. I don't think the Texans are going to do a ton of running. I think they're going to throw it. I think they're going to look at it and say, why are we going to bang our heads up against, you know, this defensive line? Let's just test their secondary, who, by the way, is healthy. Reek Woolen's back, fully healthy. Witherspoon's back. And Julian Love is back. So they had 3 starters missing last week from their secondary. They're all back. So it'll get a little trickier this week.
And our final one, the Texans are second in the NFL in EPA per pass, allowing just 175.2 yards passing per game. So EPA in the passing game per game. Sam Darnold, under 235.5 passing yards, minus 112.
I'm going under.
It's really going to depend on if the Texans can control the clock.
Did we re-sign C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
No.
Okay, then they won't have any big plays.
Okay, yeah.
No big plays.
Sam Darnold's only gone under once, and that was in their blowout win over the Saints where he didn't need to do much, only threw the ball 18 times.
So obviously that is a nod to the Texans' defense. I think a lot of it's really going to depend on the Texans' offense.
A lot of what Sam Darnold does is throw bombs.
Well, you know what? If you're think like the offense coordinator over there. Do we really want to take a lot of chances throwing it against a secondary that is known for taking the ball away, or do you want to run the ball because you watch Tampa run it really successfully against do you want to take some shots at? I don't know. And if Stingley guards Jackson Smith and Jigba, they may just say, "Look, let's try to run the ball here."
Well, they're a heavy play action team. I would say
Clint Kubiak's the offensive.
I would say watch their tight ends.
Yeah.
What's his name? Is it Barner? I think he's caught 4 touchdowns this year already.
That's a problem
against those Texas linebackers.
That's a
biting on the run. I would say watch that. DeMeco talked about it last week about how they get their explosives because of the eyes in the backfield and how they run play action. So you're going to get a heavy dose.
And the Texans are known for as a team that takes the ball away, only they don't do it all that much?
No, not this year so much.
Yeah.
Unless you're playing Cooper Rush. They had a good day against Cooper Rush.
Yeah. I mean,
that's about it.
Is he going to be quarterbacking for them tonight?
No, it's the rejuvenated Sam Darnold who is putting up numbers once again.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush is an all-time quarterback that the Texans get to play against no matter who they face.
That would be sweet.
He just travels. He puts on a different uniform and helmet, and the Texans get to ruin his life for 17 games.
All right. That's it. Okay. Score tonight.
I think it's going to be a little lower score. We'll go 20. I'm going to go 4 field goals, 12. You know what? 19-16.
I like it.
Who's winning?
Texans. I already told you.
You did?
Yeah,
you said that.
Yeah, I did.
He said that.
At the beginning of the show. Yeah. I just feel like this is a Texans win. I felt the Bengals, and I think the power of Joe Flacco is going to rest in C.J. Stroud's arm.
How does that happen?
Well, only not a bunch of touchdowns, field goals. But C.J. is going to do what he does, march you down the field for a 51-yard field goal.
That's not marching you down the field.
It's kind of.
Can return a kickoff to the 38-yard line.
That helps. And then 2 first downs, and then you kick a 56-yarder.
Do we know what the weather's like?
That's what we do.
Have we checked on the weather since you're making score predictions?
It's probably really nice.
Yeah.
Seattle in mid-October to late October. It'll just be cloudy. I think we'll be fine.
That'll be fine.
No rain. Light rain, partly cloudy. It'll be fine. Weather will be fine.
You just want to keep on talking so that we
John, can... what's the Go. Score since you asked Lance?
I'm going to say I like I had like 22-19 Texans.
A lot of positivity for a team who has only played well against awful teams.
I think I got 2-9 in the pool. So that's what I'm going with. Yeah, I got 2-9.
We're ignoring a lot of Texans' prime time history.
Which we kind of are.
They're 8-16 in primetime games.
What about on the road in primetime?
A disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really are fading. I mean, history is not on our side.
That's okay, none of those teams are on the field tonight.
Well, yeah, the team that played Tampa.
Well, other than that,
okay.
None of those teams.
The one opportunity they had to throw that back in our face, they didn't. So we've seen
that was
this
early in the season before they got really good, remember?
Yeah, really good, huh? We'll see. Yeah. Congratulations.
Oh, who's got the largest point differential the last two games? Texans. Thank you.
It's good for them.
Yep. That's what I'm talking about. All right. We're done. Mopey and Mapes next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got to talk right now about watching this game tonight. How are you going to be refreshed? I know how I'm going to be refreshed. I don't think I could get through the game without a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. I'm going to keep my house chill. Keep your house chill. When you talk about cold, you don't just want cold. You want Coors Light cold. You want it blue. You want those mountains blue, frozen, beautiful, wonderful blue mountains that tells you your beer is not just cold. It's ice cold. It's wonderful cold. I am telling you right here and right now that if you're going to watch this game tonight, you got the baseball game, you got the first football game, and then you got the Texans game. What a great night for a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. I think it's the only way to watch a game. I think it's the only way to not watch a game. I think it's the only way to play golf or poker or whatever you're going to do today. Well, work. Okay. Whatever. You're going to work too? Okay. After that, grab your cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. I'm telling you, you want to keep refreshed, you want to keep chill in Texas, cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
ESPN 97.5.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.